said you were in touch with hundreds, but there are about 16,000 or so people who have to get out of this country. Are you able to, you're not able to get in touch with all of them, right?
Well, Don, I want to push back on this idea that there's 16,000 Americans who want to get out. We don't have firm estimates of the exact number of Americans, citizens who are in Sudan. They don't have to register with us. They don't have to tell us that they're there. We think the vast majority of these American citizens in Sudan, and they're not all in Khartoum, are dual nationals.
Do they even know how many people we have? I was being honest with Cayman. I actually knew that we had a few people there, but I didn't know how many we had there. Yeah, that's John Kirby, who always sounds like he's perpetually in chaos. Whenever he takes to the podium, first off, welcome to the show. What a weird start to the week. It's a weird news cycle in that it's a slow news cycle, but then there's a couple of things that have popped off that are weird. We're going to talk, you know, maybe you don't yet. We'll talk about it. But Dana Lash with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the program. You can listen to the program in your radio. You can stream it on the Webernets. You can watch the simulcast of the radio show. I have no idea what's going on with my hair today. If you're watching the simulcast, today was senior skip day. So I had a bunch of kids at my house late and I was like in the kitchen making stuff like all night. So I just didn't. Sorry, I just didn't do the top of my head. Anyway, so now everyone's going to tune into the simulcast just to see that. They're going to be like, what is going on? I look like Bam Bam from Flintstones. Anyway. Welcome to the program. Whenever I see John Kirby take to the podium, this is going to sound weird, but I promise you I'm going to bring that tugboat to shore. For some reason, Instagram has taken to showing me two videos all the time. The first one is Frenchie's riding skateboards. I have no idea why. Every video that comes up on Instagram that's like a suggested video is a Frenchie riding a skateboard. But wait, there's more. I watched one of them and I was like, ha, ha, ha. And now Instagram's like, she loves it. Let's show her all of these things. So then the second is pandas. Baby pandas, pandas in general. And it's every video is complete chaos for these pandas, right? It is chaos. They're just living their lives and it's just total chaos. They seem innocently mischievous, but it's chaos. And I get the same feeling. Here's where the tugboat comes in. Here, listen to the horn. I get the same feeling whenever I watch John Kirby take to the podium. Because I feel like out of everybody who is in the Biden administration, he seems the least hateable. Is that a good way to put that? You know what I mean? He seems like he genuinely every day wakes up and just goes whiskey, tango, foxtrot. Now, I'm not giving him a pass. I'm just saying he just seems a bit more amiable than the rest. But when he gets up to the podium, I get that panda chaos energy from him, right? Where he's just like, I don't know. I mean, we got some people here. I don't know. I get that from him every single time. So that's what I thought of. All right. So we have, like I said, it's kind of an odd news day. And then later on, we're going to talk with, we got a couple of people coming up for you, including our friend Stephen Yates, as always, because I think we're at the point now where we need to be regularly looking to see what in the world is going on, what's happening, everything related to China, including their moves to bolster their alliances. And I think this is all important for you to know because if we say that 2024, we decide to do something dumb and we end up losing, well, you're going to really need to know what China's doing because I think it'll get worse from there. So we have Stephen Yates going to be joining us and also Stephen Williford. He's going to be up in our second hour. You might have remembered him. He's the guy who stopped the Sutherland Springs massacre and he's been working on gun rights. And he's got this crazy story coming out of Texas about the ATF and checking into your private information related to your gun rights. So we're going to be discussing all of that with him. Now, they had news today, like literally right as we were getting ready to come on air. And it's probably trending right now, I would imagine. Tucker Carlson's out at Fox News, my friend Tucker. I messaged him, but he's out. I mean, this just literally came out, not even a half hour ago, maybe 20 minutes ago. And I don't know, no one has said why or anything like that. It is a really odd situation because he was the top show at Fox. The top show. Not just the top show at Fox, but when you break down those day parts and you look at those specific, you know, you look at morning, afternoon, and evening, and then you break your evening down, he was like top on TV. That is significant. I mean, ads on his show went for an astronomical amount of money, because it's a very expensive to run commercials on Fox. It's one of the most expensive networks on which to run a commercial. You would fall over. And that's a lot of ad, because those rates are going to go down for that hour. Holy cow. So his last show, they announced his last show was Friday. It's done. He didn't even cut. That's it. And so he's out. They've announced he's out. Now, I have no idea. And like I said, I think everybody, I mean, even back channel, nobody exactly knows what's going on. But it is, I mean, it's just pretty wild. But that just came out about 20 minutes ago. Now, some people are wondering, does it have anything to do with the Dominion stuff? I don't think anybody knows. I don't really think anybody knows. And I'm wondering, I can't figure it out. I don't think it's even related to, I don't even think it would be even related to that, the Dominion stuff. I really don't. I don't think that it would. I don't know. Again, that's all speculation. But he consistently had some of the best monologues on the network, and was, I've known Tucker for years. I've known him for over 10 years. I've known him for a long time. We used to do, even before he had his evening show at Fox, we did election coverage at Fox. All the primaries and the caucuses, and then lead up to the conventions, and then the general election. And he was always, you know, he was always super fun and funny. But that's just shocking. So I don't know. If anything comes up and I see that it's germane to this discussion. But they announced this, like I said, if you're just joining us, yeah, Tucker Carlson's out as of last Friday, apparently. And it was just announced literally like 20, 25 minutes ago. They said in the statement, Fox News Media and Tucker Carlson have agreed to part ways. We thank him for his service to the network as a host and prior to that as a contributor. His last program was Friday, April 21st. They said that the it's going to be Fox News Tonight that's going to air starting this evening as an interim program. And they're just going to rotate people until they name a new host or figure out what they're going to do with that hour. So, it's pretty wild. So that's the latest there. I don't know. It's just it's weird. I don't know. It's weird. Can I just say, I don't understand how somebody like Steve Hilton stays and somebody like Tucker Carlson goes. I'm going to say it out loud because I don't understand why Steve Hilton's there. And no offense to him, but, you know, I don't really go to you for news.
Is he daily or is he just weekend?
I think he's just weekend. But, I mean, no offense to the guy. I've never met him. But I just don't really think, you know, it's like me going to Britain and talking to them about their politics. Why? Wait, I'm an American. Why do you? And you might think, Dana, that's nationalist. Well, I kind of wonder. Right. And isn't that his ideology too? So it's a little bit of a catch-22 for him. I don't know. I don't understand why somebody like Steve Hilton stays and somebody like Tucker Carlson goes. I don't know. There could be more to it than that, but sure. Yeah. But I know all the women at The View were cackling about this already. There's video of them laughing about it. I had tweeted about it, and they said they were celebrating him leaving. And what's her name? Anna Navarro. Anna Navarro was a nobody. She was entirely irrelevant before she married the guy who used to run CPAC. She married that. She was totally irrelevant. She was like a Z-list contributor. She wasn't even a contributor. She would just be on certain networks from time to time. And then I think she got into social climbing and married the guy who was a moderate who used to run CPAC. And then she started guesting on The View because she started being very critical of Republicans while still keeping that R. And I think that legacy press liked that. They wanted to be able to use a Republican to beat the Republican Party over the head. And then she got on the View, and now they were all cackling about it. And I just looked, I made a remark. I said, not a single one of these women could carry a talk show on their own.
For sure.
You have to have five of them there, and they can barely do that. It takes five of them to barely do what they're doing. Not a single one of those women could keep your attention longer than 30 seconds. Not a single one, not in a talk show, even Whoopi Goldberg. Whoopi Goldberg's fine in film and television when other lines are scripted for her, but not as this, not a single one of those women. So I always, and I see a lot of little jealous hits and stuff, you know, all these little people making these little jealous remarks about Carlson and all this stuff. But I was like, I was watching these women. They are just laughing about it. They thought it was so funny. Not a single one of them could carry a show on their own. Not a one. It's not an easy task. I mean, you have to have a, you have to fill the room. And all five of them together don't. You got a couple pieces of cardboard and, you know, like some just very milquetoast commentary. And then all together, they just, they have to hype each other up. So, I don't know. That's just my two cents on it. There's, it's just bad. It's bad. You know, I will say, I'm going to miss Tucker Face. The meme.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Where he looks at somebody, like, very confused. And he's just like, what? He's very good at the dry sarcasm. Very, very good at it. So I'll update you with all of that stuff as we get it. But, and I, if I see other people being snotty about it, I'll be taking pot shots at them. So just so you know. Because I can't stand that. It's always like the people without talent that are the loudest whenever they see someone with talent and they think it's like a, they think they have a W and they don't. But it's always these talentless Karens that are out there. Oh, blah, blah, blah. You couldn't run a show. You can't run a show without a team of producers telling you where to look, where to stand, how to dress, how to speak, what to say. I mean, good grief. Like, when you do get free reign with your opinion, it's horrible. So maybe just don't be criticizing other people. All right. So in addition to all of this stuff, they're going to have the White House press avail here coming up soon. But Democrats, so Biden's expected to announce his campaign tomorrow, his reelection bid tomorrow, in a pre-taped video. Natch. Mm-hmm.
Just go to the basement.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to try. Trump and Biden are both running the same playbook again. And I'm so done with it. Biden's like, I'm just going to come out with this video and I'm going to stay in my basement. They've sent all of these other people out there ahead of him to try to clear the path, right? They've sent everybody else out there. But he's announcing it in a video. He's not going to be taking any questions or anything. And that's where it's going to be fascinating to watch. We're going to talk about this. Also, do you remember the story we talked about weeks ago when the New York Times first dropped it? It was the story of all these kids that they were losing who were coming across the border illegally, and Alejandro Mayorkas and others at DHS were demanding that the processing go faster. Don't you think it's interesting that it's been just kind of airbrushed out of the psyche of the press? No one's talking about it. It's the outrage that wasn't. Should be, but wasn't. We're going to discuss that as well. We have a bunch of stuff to hit, so you don't want to miss a single bit of the program today, as always. If you have not changed the way that you buy meat yet, you should make the switch to Good Ranchers today. When you subscribe, Good Ranchers will give you 1.5 pounds of free bacon in every box for a year. That's a $240 value. And this bacon tastes so good because Good Ranchers pigs are never crated and they never use antibiotics or added hormones. And they have heritage breeds that have historically produced the best pork in the world. Subscribe today and get their price lock guarantee. What you pay today will be what you pay a year from now. With Good Ranchers, I consistently get the same quantity and quality of meat every single time. Their all-natural burgers, USDA prime steaks, and better-than-organic chicken have changed my standard for great meat, and it will change yours too. Visit goodranchers.com and use code Dana for $20 off your next box. Get free bacon, great meat, a secure price, and a bonus of $20 off today at goodranchers.com with code Dana when you subscribe. goodranchers.com. Go Dana. Good Ranchers. American meat delivered.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Hundreds of people protested against the Chinese-owned EV battery plant being constructed in northern Michigan due to concerns that they have, legitimate ones, about national security. They said, how many abuses have we seen, et cetera, et cetera. They had a Michigan Republican chair up there at the protest on Saturday. The company is called Goshen. They plan on building the plant 100 miles away from Camp Grayling, where the Taiwanese military is being trained by the Michigan National Guard. How convenient! Saving this to talk about that with Stephen Yates. Bed Bath Beyond bankrupt. That's the headline. That's it. That's the headline. Oh, no, they said they asked the courts for permission to auction their assets. They are done. Do you remember Bed Bath and Beyond used to be like the place to go? I mean, do you need stuff for your bed? Uh-huh. Your bath? Beyond? Sure. What was the Beyond? Like everything that wasn't bed and bath. Right? Like you could get stocking stuffers. I guess that was the Beyond part. I don't know. I was always kind of confused, but it was very fun to walk around and look at gadgets. I love kitchen gadgets. Like, I could be all you ever wanted to distract me for an inordinate amount of time, just throw a bunch of kitchen gadgets at me, and I'll be completely consumed. So Bed Bath Beyond bankrupt. It's kind of sad. Mothers, oh gosh, check this out. PJ Media. Study shows that mothers of boys with gender issues are mental, meaning the moms are mental. Oh, yes. Yes, 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 1,000 times yes. They said it's an abstract of a scientific study undertaken a number of years ago in 94, but they said it's now trending on social media, and it's shocking on a number of levels. They said mothers of boys with gender identity disorder, a comparison of match controls. It was done by two PhDs, and they're very predictable. The National Institute of Mental Health said basically that the son's father is sort of the secondary in the picture. Even if he's still in the house, he's kind of like the beta role, and that it's the dominant mental mom. Woo! Well, I mean, there's a reason why Psycho with Norman Bates. I mean, right. There you go right there. France is mad that Miller calls itself the champagne of beers. And after everything that Budweiser did, I don't care. Miller can call itself whatever it wants to. And Texas law enforcement is baffled by a string of mutilated cows. Their tongues are missing. What a weird headline. Stick with us. You've heard me talk about my friends at Kel-Tec for years, and it's because I really believe in them as a company and as innovators. Their firearms in design and function go above and beyond, like with the Kel-Tec P50, a revolutionary award-winning pistol that packs a punch in a compact package. The Kel-Tec P50 is perfect for home defense, for range shooting, or just even having some fun. And with its top-mounted Picatinny rail, you can easily attach your favorite optics or accessories to make it truly yours. Whether you are a seasoned shooter or you're just starting out, the Kel-Tec P50 is the perfect pistol for anyone looking for power and precision in a compact and easy-to-use package. Their firearms in design and function go above and beyond. Learn more about the P50 pistol at KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Secure your world with Kel-Tec. KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all, live or on demand. The Dana Show.
Welcome back. Word has just come down that Fox News Media and Tucker Carlson have agreed to part ways. Well, thank you for your service to the network and host of the prior contributor. Wave. We'll talk more about it tomorrow, but we wanted to make sure that we let you know what was going
well,
on.
Well, can I ask the audience if they'll help me do something? Come on, folks. Na 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 na.
Oh, I cringe. I cringe so bad.
I don't think anyone likes to celebrate the demise of someone's career, but the demise of someone's career.
Yeah.
But he is responsible for the degradation that we see somewhat of our democracy in this country.
Oh my gosh.
And I just think as a faithful person, look at God.
Oh my goodness, look at God. Well, I sit here and I support Planned Parenthood. Oh yes, Jesus.
I mean, he's been the biggest purveyor of pro-Russian talking points.
Yeah.
So it's a good day for
I find it hysterical that Nepo baby Alyssa Farah, whose dad is like one of the biggest conspiracy theorists in conservative publishing and who ran around spreading rumors about the demise of my former and late boss and dear friend and mentor. I just find it hysterical that like these are the type of people who, I mean, they're celebrating. It's the talentless thinking that they have a W over people with talent. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here. And as I said, not a single one of those females could helm a talk show by themselves. Not a single one. It takes five of them and they can barely do what they do with five of them out there. And that's with a team of producers and everything, feeding them everything that they need to do. So all they have to do is just make sure that they spread the lip gloss. That's it. No, it's not mean if it's true. Not mean if it's true. So, na 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 na. Oh my gosh. Anyway, Don Lemon is also out. Did you guys hear this? Yeah. Don Lemon is out at CNN. He blasted the network for, quote, not having the decency to tell him. He said, quote, I was informed this morning by my agent that I've been terminated by CNN. Now, full disclosure, Don and I have the same agent. He says, I'm stunned. After 17 years at CNN, I would have thought that someone in management would have had the decency to tell me directly. At no time was I ever given any indication that I would not be able to continue to do the work that I've loved at the network. It's clear that there's some larger issues at play. And with that said, he says, I want to thank my colleagues and the many teams I've worked with for an incredible run. Blah, blah, blah. I have always thought that he is not bad at broadcasting, even though I disagree with him a lot. I've always gotten along with him, even though he's wrong on everything, except his like of me. There's where he's correct. But I always felt that being in the hard news environment was not where he should be. You know, he is more, because his style is too relaxed, and he is so personality driven that is kind of incompatible with the type of format that he was doing. And I think that was his first downfall. His second downfall is that he couldn't read the room. They were putting him on with younger females because he wasn't keeping the audience. And so they were trying to put him with people that some of the people that they were pairing him with were more news driven, more hard news driven. And they were less editorial. They didn't have huge personalities, but they were news driven. So clearly they were trying to offset that, which Lemon lacked, by adding that component when they were having him, you know, do this morning program. And he clashed with them because I've seen this happen at networks before. You put a guy that has seniority with younger women who do not have seniority and who are brand new there. And there it's not a sexism issue. That's where I do take a look. The one remark that he did make where he was talking about older women. Yeah, that was misogyny. But by and large, it's an issue of ego, and it's an issue of this person feels, and they do have more seniority, and they're being made to run against someone that has less seniority. And there's a lot of friction there. And that was more, I think, what his situation was. And I've seen it happen elsewhere, and it just never works. Whenever I see that format happen, it never works. The only time that's actually ever worked was Regis Philbin and what's her face? The blonde who's
Kelly.
Yeah, what's her name?
Kelly Ripa.
Yeah. I think that's the only time I've ever seen that dynamic work. But that's because Regis Philbin, and we had a mutual friend. He was old school though. He was an older dude, but he was way old school. He's been involved in that. He was involved in that for so long that he was a total pro about it. And he knew that the show must go on. You put that first, and you do your job. And so he was up, you know, got paired with this, you know, a lot younger, energetic woman. And he that was where it wasn't affected. But that's because he was a consummate pro. I mean, he really was like the old school type of TV host broadcaster. And that's where you can tell the reels from the fakes. So that's kind of, I think, the dynamic with him. They had him in a bad format. He had to do something like HBO or something like that. Because I don't think that CNN, I just don't think that that's the format that works for him. It's kind of weird. I look at it. I'm kind of ambivalent about him. Like, I thought the remark that he had was misogynistic, but I never looked at Don Lemon or his discourse as any sort of threat to an agenda that I wanted to pass. I don't think it merited enough of a threat. I mean, I just think he was kind of milquetoast. I mean, he's your run-of-the-mill lefty, right? I mean, there's nothing, I don't find anything threatening about his comments. I don't find anything challenging about them. I think that's probably the better word to use. He's not challenging. I think that seems more accurate to say. So that's, golly, what a weird news day. So that's going to dominate everything. And then tomorrow is when Joe Biden's expected to announce. Democrats, so here's what's weird. They're kind of torn. They're fighting with each other. The Democrats are in two factions right now. You have the faction that views Biden as their only choice, and you have the faction that doesn't view Biden as their only choice. And that faction is the one that's pushing out all of the stuff on Hunter Biden. Because as I've said, these are not Republican oppo drops. These are from the left, because a lot of the stuff could only come from the left because that's who's in power controlling the info. So they're trying to take out Biden by, you know, pushing all of this stuff with the investigation, etc. It needs to happen, and they're correct, and then I think it makes him ineligible, but no, it is what it is. And then you have the ones who are like, well, gosh, we don't have any other choice. And the ones who feel like they don't have any other choice but Biden, those are the ones who are baiting Trump. And he's taken every little morsel they can bait him with. They're baiting him, and they want him to, they're basically calling the shots. I know that I have a guy that I've known for a long time who's a friend of mine who is working with their campaign. And I know he thinks that he's calling the shots, but he's not. It's the media and the left that are wanting Biden to run that are calling the shots in that campaign. Let's be real, because if I was trying to run my opponent's campaign, that's literally everything I would do. I would exactly do everything that they're doing. And they're all taking the bait. It's mind-boggling. But that aside, that's the only way Biden can be competitive. I think you could put anybody or anything, literally an entity, on the ballot and just put an R next to its name. And I think that Biden would compete. But there have been a couple of very interesting surveys that they've done. The Wall Street Journal's done one. There's been a couple of other ones. And they've been pretty. Some of them have been likely voters and then registered voters. So it's been kind of interesting to see what the breakdown is. But they've looked at, well, what if you do you want to avoid a Biden-Trump 2.0? And nobody wants to have a Biden-Trump 2.0. And it's interesting because it's across the board with Democrats and Republicans. Democrats do not want to see Biden run they don't want to see him really run again. Republicans do not want to see a Trump-Biden 2.0. But if Trump is the candidate, Democrats want Biden. They think that Biden can beat it. That's the only time. And that's when the party of, oh, well, there's no other choice but Biden. That's when they really come out. That's the way he's competitive. He's only competitive in that regard. So the uncomfortable truth is, if it's a Biden-Trump 2.0, you're going to have people voting Biden. Or they won't vote like they did in the 2020 election, which I tried telling everybody about when you had split ticket voting. I know some people were saying that it wasn't a real thing. I've literally looked at, I can't tell you how much data, state by state breakout. And that's absolutely false. You had John Cornyn that got more votes in Texas than Trump did, which I can't even believe I said that with my mouth. Like I would say it any other way, but you know what I mean? That's just a shocking reality. And I think people were really, they were tired of the campaigning, and I think that they were just done. And I'm just warning people, you cannot prepare to run a general like a primary. And primaries are great and they have their place, but people also need to remember, you got to make sure that you can run what you're running in the general. That's the truth of it. Now, while all of this has been happening, Biden's set to announce his candidacy, his re-election bid tomorrow. He's apparently going to name Julie Rodriguez as campaign manager. This is coming by way of CBS when he announces. And his campaign manager, I think she was involved. She's managing the 2024 bid. She's one of the senior advisors that he has right now. She's in the West Wing, and she's works as the director of White House Office of Intergovernmental Affairs. So she has to deal with all of the governors and all of the mayors and do all of that outreach. And so she's from California. She's the granddaughter of Cesar Chavez. So that's, I know. So he's making a play. By the way, Cesar Chavez really didn't like illegal immigration. I don't know if you've ever, he really didn't like it. If you ever go and watch the countless videos on YouTube where he talks about it, just something fun. That's a really good way to just take, you know, why would you do something like that? You just walk right into it, right? I've seen a lot of dumb errors over the weekend. Like Trump bashed Florida. He was speaking at a dinner in Florida and he decided to literally bash Florida. And I could not believe what, I mean, you saw that, right? Mm-hmm. What did he say? He was going down because he's, I guess, targeting DeSantis. And he was saying that Florida was a bad state and saying that it was a horrible state, et cetera, just bad place to live. And this was after he had some Republican congressional members, like literally right after he had them endorse him. Then he starts bashing, like Byron Donalds and others. Then he turns around and he just bashes the hell out of Florida. And I'm like, well, you know, I kind of want to ask Byron Donalds, so what do you think about that? Right. Like, how is that? How in the world? Who is... He's got, not... What did he say when he was saying Mexico doesn't send us their best? Okay, his campaign isn't sending him their best. Right. Oh my gosh. We got to talk more about that here coming up. I know we got to get rolling, as we do. Golly. Black Rifle Coffee Company set out on a mission to make the best cup of coffee that's ever hit your mug. And I think they've hit that mission straight on. Their dream has been to sell enough premium coffee to build a support network for veterans, first responders, and law enforcement. And thanks to your support, that dream has come true. Black Rifle Coffee is roasted by a veteran-led team of brilliant coffee graders who work tirelessly to roast and bag the highest quality coffee here in America. And the coffee is truly one of a kind and my favorite. Your support has helped Black Rifle Coffee Company expand their team of active duty service members, veterans, and veteran family members. And they were able to donate over 120,000 bags of coffee to veterans and first responders in 2022. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and use my code Dana at checkout for 20% off your purchase and your first coffee club order. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Use code Dana and also look for Black Rifle Coffee in grocery and convenience stores. Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Make sure you sign up for Chapter and Verse over at Substack. And of course, you can find us also on YouTube and Facebook. Like and subscribe. All right. So over the weekend, your hostess, your curmudgeon, lovable curmudgeon Dana Lash here with you, discovered over the weekend that I had. So they took away everybody's blue checks on Twitter. And then I was confused. They gave them back. And I went online because someone was saying, do you see all the tantrums on Twitter? I'm LOLing. A friend of mine messaged me and I was like, what? Like, over what? Because I had so much going on this weekend, so I didn't have, you know, the opportunity to pop on Twitter very much. It's a very busy time. The next month is going to be very, 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 very busy for us. And so go online and all of these people are just losing it. It was the digital version of like a fight on Black Friday. I don't know how else to describe it. And I saw that I had my blue check back and I'm like, well, that was weird. I had been waiting to sign up for the service until they fixed the rat's nest of manipulated algorithms from the previous people. Because it's like, for me, I thought, well, what difference is it going to make to pay $8 a month and still be throttled? So I was waiting for that. I mean, I'm not against paying a company for their service or for Elon Musk to run Twitter how he wants to. But the throttling was still so bad. And I wasn't the only one that was dealing with this, mind you. But what got me is all of these like celebrities were losing their minds because they had their blue checks restored. So I didn't know that over Friday night, the left decided that it was a virtue, I guess, or what? It was a cap in their feather to not have their blue check because they weren't going to pay for the service. And then Musk decided to troll them by giving their blue check back. And it made them mad because they didn't want anyone to think that they had paid for the service. So they were all out there. They had raged about losing their blue check. Technically, it's a white check and a blue circle, but roll with me. And then they were mad that they had gotten it back. And they just weren't happy. There was just no way that they were happy. It was hysterical to watch. There was a guy who had a 17-tweet thread. This journalist or something at Rolling Stone. 17 tweets where he was explaining how he did not purchase the service. And he was so mad at Elon Musk. But he kept wanting everybody to know that he did not buy it because it made him look like a basic B, right? Like, oh, you paid for your check. I just thought it was funny. They were all whining over it. So... And they still are to an extent, but I mean, it was a riot on Saturday. It was one of the funniest things I've seen on Twitter in a really long time. So coming up in our second hour, what is the ATF trying to like sneak peeks at what your gun records are?
Yes.
We've got a story here about the Texas Workforce Commission handing the ATF some financial data on gun owners. And so we're going to talk about this with Stephen Williford. He's the spokesperson for Gun Owners of America. He's also the good guy with a gun who helped in one of the deadliest mass shootings in Sutherland Springs with his AR-15. We're going to talk with him coming up next hour. Stick with us, back in just minutes. As colleges and universities across the country hold their graduations, I'd like to highlight a place where students receive the best classical liberal arts education in America. And when these students graduate, they've studied the great books, the history of Western civilization and of America, and the meaning and history of the Constitution. Can you guess who I'm talking about? I'm talking about Hillsdale College. Hillsdale was founded in 1844 to offer the kind of education needed to preserve civil and religious liberty, and holds true to that mission while refusing to accept one penny of taxpayer funding, not even indirectly, in the form of student grants and loans. Hillsdale students also abide by an honor code, which ensures a unity of purpose and fosters lively, civil, and intelligent debate. See for yourself and learn from Hillsdale for free through their influential Speech Digest in Primus and by taking online courses on American history, the Constitution, and other subjects. Find out more at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com. Join the battle over education for our country's future today.
To put it simply, this is an issue about the responsibility that the United States Congress, as an extension of the United States government, has to pay its bills.
Yes.
You have to pay your bills. We have to pay our bills. What? Everyone watching has to pay their bills. You spend the money, you need to pay for it. You put money on your credit card, you need to pay for it. The United States Congress needs to step up, and where the Republican caucus is standing the way, needs to step up and agree that there is a responsibility to pay the bills.
There's a responsibility to stop spending so damn much.
Oh, man. That's the VP. Oh, Kane's having a meltdown. Welcome back to the program. Second hour here. Your lovable curmudgeon, Dana Loesch. Whew, you can listen coast to coast. Stream the program, YouTube, Facebook. You okay over there? You all right?
To hear her talk about responsibility, fiscal responsibility, are you effing kidding me with that?
I wish you guys could have seen him with his little hand spasms over there.
Oh, my gosh. How can she, knowing all the spending that is happening right now, over the past 2 years, we've added an additional $6 trillion to the spending, and she says we gotta pay our bills.
Well, wait a minute, we didn't spend that. She did.
They did.
I mean, you can't sit here and treat us like a sugar daddy and then go out there and be like, well, you need to pay your bills. I didn't authorize you to spend all this, right? I didn't tell you that you could do this, you thief. I didn't tell you you could do all this. You gotta pay your bills. It's weird how in one hand she demonstrates an understanding of how that works, but then, on the other hand, she doesn't. I'm really confused.
Roll the tape.
Yeah, I mean, you have to, because at first it started off so strong, right? And you're like, wait a minute, is she telling what? And then she puts it back on us. No. Mm-mm. I didn't do that. That's not how that works. Not in the least. Okay, that was the only thing that we were trying to figure out what to start this hour with, because there's some good stuff. The audio soundbite 14, please. I need this in my life so badly.
Which was approved 20 years ago by the Federal Drug Administration.
What? I'm sorry, what? The Federal Drug?
The Federal Drug Administration?
That's what she thinks the FDA is.
Then what if...
What does the F stand for, she thinks? Federal?
Federal.
That's funny. Mm-hmm. That's good stuff.
Yeah. What about the food people?
No. Forget the food, Dana. It's the federal.
It's the Federal Drug Administration. There's no one here to deal with food.
They only regulate drugs. They have nothing to do with food.
Apparently.
Nothing.
This is why they don't let her go talk. Golly. I don't know who she, if Biden, when he announces and if they end up staving off Gavin Newsom and she's his VP again, which I'm having trouble seeing that that's the case. I can't wait for that debate. I don't remember the last one that she had. The debate with Pence. I think it was pretty boring, wasn't it? Like the world's most boring debate, I think. So he's expected to announce, Biden, his candidacy tomorrow. via, ladies and gentlemen, a pre-recorded message. So I have some questions about that. The big one being, why is it a pre-recorded message? Why? I mean, you would think that he would have an event, right? He's had all of these people go out ahead of him to sort of clear the path and meet with the all of the donors, et cetera, et cetera. And you think that this would be, I mean, that's not the time, your announcement isn't the time to do this like basement video. But that's what he does. He's trying to run the same playbook. He wants to run the same playbook. I don't know if that's going to be successful for him. Because he seems, I mean, his voters even think that he's MIA. So I don't, I mean, I've got a lot of questions. All right. So in addition to this, I'm going to pull this up. This is audio soundbite 4. Because they've been pushing climate again, climate. And you have AOC who's redoing the Green New Deal. Listen to this.
So I think that we are on the right track as long as the emissions begin to be abated. They begin to be captured. And that is the key for the oil and gas industry. There's no free pass here. It is imperative that we meet our goals, and that will require capturing emissions, which are the real problem, the real enemy.
The emissions are the real enemy. Now, we were talking about this last week. It was on Friday, I think, with Alex Epstein. And that video, by the way, is up at YouTube. You can go and watch the discussion. First off, he's the climate envoy. The United States has a position that's filled by this guy who he travels around the world, many private flights, and lectures everybody about the weather on behalf of the United States. I don't know. Part of me thinks that that's such a dumb position to have. But then the second part, if he actually was a climate envoy that I think was supportive of the United States in this situation, he would be lecturing everyone else about why can't you be as good as the United States is on climate. Exactly. Instead of telling the United States that we have to do more when other countries don't expect, like China, the biggest polluter, is not expected to do anything. I feel that, you know, that's kind of an important distinction in the role that he should be playing. And I'm pretty sure that's going to be because you have AOC, like I said, she's reintroducing that Green New Deal. Do you remember the last time that she did it and it was a disaster? Because they apparently, because they reintroduced it. And so she wants to decarbonize the U.S. within 10 years. Now, do you remember when she came out with it the first time, they literally had a big discussion in that bill about cow flatulence, or was it bovine flatulence? Is that how they put it? They had a whole thing on that. There was that was part of the actual proposal. And I had the screen, everybody was taking screenshots of it. And then she deleted it from her .gov website and said that it was a Photoshopped proposal that went out. And then she put it back up and it was virtually the same minus that sentence. It was so embarrassing. So they're rolling this out again just in time for Biden's to give him, honestly, I think they're trying to just give him, it's timed. I mean, he has to have something to run on because he can't run on the economy. He can't run on, I mean, what can he run on? I mean, what are all his accomplishments? What, name an accomplishment.
Skyrocketing inflation?
Yeah, but I'm not saying like...
Skyrocketing gas prices?
Yeah, but not like ruining the economy, you know, higher taxes, you know, making us dependent on every other country except our, you know, ourselves for energy.
Yeah, those are all negative.
Yeah. Does he have a positive?
No.
He didn't do a thing.
I don't know what it is.
Nothing.
And we've been paying attention like extremely closely.
I mean, I'm trying
every
to
single day.
Give him the benefit of the doubt. Is there anything?
I don't know.
Okay, so it's not us being mean. Look, we're really trying here. There's just nothing. There isn't an accomplishment. Maybe someone in the YouTube chat can suggest something, because I don't think that.
Not jobs.
Yeah, not jobs.
It isn't jobs.
not economic stability, not I can't think of
I don't know if he sold as many guns as Obama did.
No, but I don't think he did.
He's been doing a pretty good job.
He's made a lot of money for his family.
That he has.
With his connections. Is that, well, I mean, that's positive for him and not for all of us.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm on the struggle bus with this one. I don't know what he's done that's actually positive. Now, speaking of China and the money that he's made, we're going to talk to Stephen Yates coming up later on in the program. China and Singapore are collaborating on concrete initiatives that will catalyze capital flows to support a credible and inclusive transition to a low carbon future. Blah, blah, blah. That's a bunch of words for they're teaming up together for green. Mm-hmm. That's what they're doing.
And bye-bye dollar.
Mm-hmm. And they've also been trying to expand Belt and Road. Even more so. So they're really targeting the petrodollar, dollar period. They're just targeting our currency. And they've created, like, they want this task force that they're forming to enable the countries to strengthen sustainability, bond market connectivity, and they want access to green and transition bond products, et cetera, et cetera. Think about this. Xi Jinping has been working overtime to bring people into the fold, whether it's Brazil, even Emmanuel Macron, all of this. And what's Biden been doing? Nothing. I don't know. Nothing. I have no idea what he's doing. He's actually passing more money through the United Nations to the Communist Party. Washington Examiner has a piece as to how he's funneling more money for climate change to Beijing. He promised to spend $1 billion on Thursday of last week. And then remember, he signed the executive order about the ESG code, the ESG scores, which we're going to talk about here coming up. But he pledged to send $1 billion in taxpayer money to the UN's Green Climate Fund. Now, the Green Climate Fund, you have a bunch of tyrants in the fund who are beholden to the CCP. They consider China to be a developing country. Therefore, $1 billion can go to China. We probably bought a whole bunch of military equipment for them to fight us with at some point. Good job, Biden. That's an actual thing that actually, and he had previously agreed that the U.S. should pay climate reparations, but he didn't demand the same commitment from China. Are you okay? You're going to twist your hands off.
I'm done.
You have a whole other juice back there by you. Just get you some juice.
Well, yeah,
wait, we got to get Kane to a happy spot. Right. Hang on. Get your little juice. Get your little juice and get over there and get your little happy spot. He's about to rip his hands off. He's so frustrated today.
My only ray of sunshine in this freaking gloomy Monday.
You just see him over there.
Stupid news.
I wish that I could accurately for the radio audience listening. He's like trying to tear apart his own hands. I don't even know how else to put it. Get your juice. Is that a berry juice?
Part of it is to keep me from yelling.
Yeah. Well, what kind of juice you got in your cup?
This is what they call a liver cleanse. It actually has beet juice in it. It's carrots and
why don't you just take a super beet heart
apple?
Chew. Use code Dana.
I do that also.
Okay. I'm just saying because I wouldn't. Okay. Well, you know what? It's a vibrant color. Happy color. Yeah. Have your little
really friendly
in a cup.
To my liver in my 20s and 30s. I'm trying to be more friendly now.
You got your juice. You're in your happy spot. Yeah. There you go. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. We're all good. Where I have to stop and play Enya Orinoco Flow, Kane has to have his juice. He's got to have his juice. His adult sippy cup over here. He's got to have his juice. We have a lot more on the way. We're going to talk more about this. The money that's going to China. I know. See, this is all the stuff that you should be focusing on. What is the number one headline right now across the country? Blah, Tucker, blah, you deserve it. Blah. That's the number one headline. Not making it up. That's where we are. When you see judicial rot running rampant and American companies embracing insanity and wokery, you got to fight back, starting with the way that we spend our money. So for years, big mobile companies have dumped millions into leftist causes, and you know, we just kind of took it because another option didn't exist. Well, now one does. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT and get free activation today with offer code Dana. Ask about their coverage guarantee as well. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Don Lemon, he issued a statement about leaving CNN on Twitter. CNN just tweeted a little bit ago, quote, Don Lemon's statement about this morning's events is inaccurate. He was offered an opportunity to meet with management, but instead released his statement on Twitter. Oh, man. All right. So we're just going to keep watching that drama. Okay. We're just going to keep watching that. In addition, the embassy was evacuated in Sudan. Special forces have swiftly evacuated another embassy. This time in Sudan, special forces carried out a precarious evac. This was on Sunday, sweeping in and out of the capital with helicopters. They were on the ground for less than an hour. No shots fired, no casualties reported, because that's how you do it. If only they actually ran leadership, to be honest, yeah. So that was good news indeed, but another situation there. And apparently China's trying to figure out what they're going to do with their people in Sudan. Can you imagine being this person? Like, okay, so a lot of people like to go antiquing and things like that. This woman purchased this old Roman-looking bust for $34 at a Texas Goodwill. As it turned out, it was like an actual antiquity. It was estimated by Sotheby's to be about 2,000 years old. Whoa. They're still trying to confirm the identity of the bust. It's on its way back to Germany now. It was housed in a replica of a Pompeii home, and it's like priceless. So how does that work? Like, is she going to get, because the story doesn't actually get into, because it's on display at a museum. How does that work? Stick with us. Stephen Williford next.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Welcome back to the program. You can listen to The Dana Show coast to coast in a market near you. You can also stream it online. Find it also on YouTube, Facebook, channel 347, DirecTV, your lovable curmudgeon here with you. Bottom of our second hour. And one of the things that we've discussed, particularly in the past couple of weeks, are all of these, state by state legislation where you have permitless carry that's passing, as well as a number of moves by the administration and some of their surrogates to further compromise and infringe on people's Second Amendment rights. One of the things you may not be aware of, and my friend Emily Miller has done a really good job at covering this for the Epoch Times. Imagine being told or being contacted by the feds because they believed that you didn't have enough money in your bank account to purchase the guns that you were purchasing. Now, your first thought would be, wait a minute. First off, how do they know how much money that I had in my bank account? And secondly, what business is it of theirs? Well, that's the thing. They've been without any kind of warrant conducting surveillance and looking at your purchases. And this has been happening across the country for the past couple of years. And even in the great Republic of Texas, we've been seeing this, where they've been coordinating with the ATF to share the income of residents for warrantless monitoring. Now, one of the people blowing the whistle on this is a very dear friend of mine, and he is the iconic good guy with a gun. And he is also the spokesperson for Gun Owners of America. Stephen Williford first was introduced to the nation because he was the good guy with a gun who stopped one of the deadliest mass shootings in American history. And he did it barefoot. And I always think that every now and then you really see, I think, a divine plan come into play. And a man that had for his entire life trained to have skills that he hoped to never use was called upon, which is always, God equips the called and sprang into action and saved lives that day. And now he's raising the alarm on this very troubling story about this warrantless surveillance. And Stephen joins us now via Skype. My friend, good to see you as always. Thank you so much for joining us and warning people about this. This has been going on for a couple of years now, and it's not just in Texas.
Well, apparently so. Apparently the ATF is without any kind of legislation, without any kind of warrants. And I don't understand how the Texas Workforce Commission is working with the ATF. Why they don't tell them, look, you're federal, we're state.
Yeah,
you know, we can't give you
weird.
This information.
Yeah, it's a very weird story. And he's talking about the Texas Workforce Commission, which apparently has written contracts. They told this to the Epic Times, written contracts with the ATF for what they call sharing income information for criminal investigations. But the thing that's been uncovered, and I know you've been drawing attention to this, Stephen, is that, for instance, there was a man in Arizona who was subjected to NICS daily monitoring because his reported income wasn't enough, according to ATF agents, to purchase the firearms that he had. So they were trying to look at this as like a criminal investigation without actual, I mean, enough of an evidentiary standard, number one, to even have this sort of warrantless surveillance. That's troubling, and it makes me wonder how widespread this is. What do you know about how widespread it is? And to your point, why is the Texas workforce, why is anything in Texas working with us?
Yeah, exactly. Why is anyone in Texas? And I'm not real sure. I know that the ATF has been caught by Gun Owners of America doing basically tracing guns and following guns and registering guns, and they have an illegal registry now. And
wow.
People say, well, I don't want to be on that list. Well, guess what? You probably are on that list already. And we have filed to get that destroyed, that registry destroyed, because it is unconstitutional. And now we find out that our Texas workforce is working directly with them. And another thing you should fear is apparently we're going to a paperless or moneyless form of government or commerce, not government, but commerce. And everything will have to go through the federal government, any transaction, and they can decide whether you need it or not.
Wow.
This is a very dangerous time.
A very dangerous time indeed. We're talking to our friend Stephen Williford, the iconic good guy with a gun. And there, I mean, this isn't just, you know, this isn't anecdotal. I mean, there's actual hard data with this. There are case after case after case. My friend Emily Miller for the Epic Times discussing, you know, in Wisconsin, in Florida, in Arizona. I mean, state after state after state where, you know, for instance, a guy in Florida was monitored daily by the FBI, not because he did anything criminal, but because they thought that he just was purchasing too many firearms. That was it. I mean, but that's not a crime.
They tried to pass that in the state just recently, just this past week. I was down there fighting at the Capitol. They were trying to pass anyone that buys over one gun a week makes a list and starts getting investigated. And the GOA was down there, Gun Owners of America, and we were fighting this. And I don't think it made it out of committee, but I was down there till 1:30 in the morning fighting things like this at the state capitol. Ted coming to speak with us at the capitol on Wednesday if anybody wants to come to the state capitol.
And that's Wednesday of this week in Austin, correct?
Yes, that
yep.
is.
Yep. One of these cases, we're talking with Stephen Williford. One of these cases, and Stephen's with Gun Owners of America, he's a national spokesperson, a Missouri man was put onto this NICS daily monitoring because an ATF agent thought that he had been, you know, bizarre messages and things like this. And there are a couple of other cases where, I mean, it, you know, the stuff that you write online could be considered for and make you eligible for this sort of like warrantless surveillance. The thing that worries me, Stephen, about that is that, you know, political discourse has gotten so weird that if you simply disagree with someone on policy, you can be called a terrorist, right? I mean, there law-abiding Americans have been called terrorists just for supporting Second Amendment rights by members of Congress like Representative Kathleen Rice, which that, I mean, I just, there, anybody could be at play here. Even someone who's not, you know, going to the range regularly, maybe they have a shotgun, anybody could be up for this.
Absolutely. Anybody that the government that disagrees with the government, you know, and I guess GOA is big on the hit list because one of our slogans is save a puppy, abolish the ATF.
That's a good slogan, gotta say.
Yeah, So never in any other do we have a national police force to regulate one of our God-given rights, right. one of our constitutional rights, whether it's free speech or freedom of religion or anything. There's never a government law enforcement agency that regulates that. So why should it be with the Second Amendment?
That's a good point. We're talking with our friend Stephen Williford with Gun Owners of America. Is there, because I haven't seen this. I don't know what would be, I guess it would be an AG thing with attorneys general, state by state, that they would have to, I guess, look into this and investigate to see whether or not, you know, people's, I mean, obviously there's a, you know, there's rights being circumvented here and, or the process being circumvented. This is, there's no legislation that called for this. Is there, do you, are you aware of any move by attorney generals around the country that are acting to maybe put a stop to this?
No, I'm unaware of that, but that is a really good point because Ken Paxton has absolutely stood with the Second Amendment and he may be looking into this. If not, maybe he should be aware of it and start looking into it himself. And I'm not aware of any other state that is doing that actively. I know Ken Paxton is with the state of Texas has said that he would support our Suppressor Freedom Act and other acts like that. So he's pretty good with pro-gun issues.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he may be need to be made aware of what's going on if he's not already.
Yeah, we'll make sure that we reach out to him. We're talking to Stephen Williford, who's sounding the alarm on a number of states just working with the ATF without citizens' knowledge and granting the ATF this ability, the feds the ability to monitor people without a warrant through the NICS system, the federal background check system. And you particularly were talking about the Texas Workforce Commission having these written contracts for sharing income information for criminal investigations. The thing that I don't see in any of the, which is the point of all of the reporting on it, Stephen, is that there is no firewall to protect innocent people from being swept up in this, I mean, I don't know how to put it, a red scare sort of approach to investigating this, because simply purchasing, you know, 5 guns in a day is not a criminal, not criminal activity. Or if the ATF thinks that you don't have enough money in your bank account and yet you have, you know, more guns than they think you should have, that's not a sign of criminal activity. That's not a felony. What there's no firewall here. There's no protections that I can see for everyday people.
No, there isn't. And you know, who's to say what's important to you and spending your money. I know somebody that puts layaway, puts some yeah. very expensive collectible Colt revolvers on layaway at a gun store. And he takes his time and pays them off, and he has a really nice collection. If someone were to look to at his bank account and decide, well, we don't think he should be able to afford them, that's none of their business. That's none of your business, none of my business, and none of the government's business for sure.
Yeah, for sure, because I definitely don't, I mean, that's not the entity that I'm going to trust in order to keep us safe. There's too many examples of that. Our friend Stephen Williford, the event that's taking place in Austin, the Texas Capitol, this Wednesday, Gun Owners of America event, raising awareness of some of the stuff that y'all have been battling state by state, but particularly in Texas there at the state legislature. Tell us about that and what you have in store and what you would like to see people to do to help.
Well, this is Second Amendment Day at the Capitol put on by Gun Owners of America. And we're going to be talking again. I'm speaking, Ted Nugent speaking. Michael Cargill is going to be speaking.
He's great. Yeah, we've had him on recently. Yes.
I love Michael Cargill. He's a good guy. He's great. You know, he's fighting the bump stock bans and stuff. He owns a gun shop there in Austin and in liberal land.
Yes.
So we're going to be discussing some of the bills that are being pushed and the pushback, the things that we're doing. Again, I signed up at like 8 o'clock in the morning last Tuesday, and I didn't get to speak until 1:30 the next morning in
wow.
Texas. And then I stayed in a hotel and got up and got on the road because I had to get on a Zoom to testify in Boulder, Colorado.
There you go. You're a busy man. Very busy man. One last quick thing. I know you have a book coming out as well. I want to touch on that real quick before we got to go. It's going to be coming out in the next couple of months, and it's going to be about, it's your story.
It is my story, and it's more than just my story. It also talks about the people that we lost in Sutherland Springs, what their families wanted the nation to know about them and who they were, and their stories too. So it's quite encompassing. It's about Mayberry, USA, if you want to say it. It's going to be titled A Little Town Called Sutherland Springs.
There you go. Yeah. Well, I know you and I have been talking about it, and I know we're going to have you back on that when it comes out. But Stephen Williford, if people are I don't think anybody should be unaware who you are. I have to say, you're a very humble person. You are very focused on the issue, very godly man. And I have to say, I think that you're probably a living American icon. And I think one of the most important figures in Second Amendment history and in self-defense history in this country. And it's a pleasure to know you. And I think that you do such great work and you don't get enough attention for it. But I know you like it that way. But I just have to say, it's an honor to know you. And I appreciate what you do, my friend. We'll have you back to talk about your book.
Thank you, Dana. I sure appreciate that.
Of course. Take care. And of course, it's going to be this Wednesday. Stephen will be talking in Austin. Stephen Williford, Gun Owners of America. Always good to see you, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. God bless.
Okay. God bless. Good to see you. We have more to come, folks, here as we finish up this second hour. We got Florida Man on the way as well. You don't want to miss that. And I'm going to make sure that I link all of the stuff that you just heard us talking about, because it is more than just, it surprised me a little bit about Texas to see that Texas would be working with the ATF on this. We are going to reach out to Ken Paxton about that. But you need to read about these actual documented cases in all of these other states. It's not anecdotal information. These are real stories of the way that the federal government is trying to do a backdoor peek without a warrant into your finances to see what you own in terms of firearms. Now, if you don't even have to own a gun. That's just a variable. Imagine if it's about any other issue. You see the importance here?
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Mm-mm-mm. All right, so first up, I mean, I didn't know that you could get a DUI on a bicycle. Did you know that?
I didn't.
I didn't know that either. I didn't know you could get a DUI on a bicycle, but apparently you can. This Florida man was pedaling while intoxicated. And he got in trouble on Friday, April 14th. Sanibel.
DWI?
Yeah, actually, that's a good, yeah. Well, DW, yeah. It's an arrest on Florida, Sanibel Island. There's a lot of debate now, apparently, about this. There was a guy on a bike. He was traveling on the side of the road, Ray. He had no front or rear light, police said. He was arrested for DUI, taken to Lee County Jail. He's 56. He was visiting from Tennessee. And DUI while biking is a legitimate charge in Florida. They said the statute covers it. It's applicable to bicycles.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't know that. I mean, if you're on a bicycle, I mean, I guess, you know, if you're interfering in the roadway, but what if you're like on a bike path or something?
Right.
I don't know. Like, can't you get a DUI on a horse too?
That's true. You can.
Even though the horse is the one who can really, like, right, is like the designated.
And ride him on board.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know about this one. I really don't. I'm just not, you know. Let's see. This, nope, I can't. No, I can't do that one. No, I can't. This Florida man, there's a Florida man who mistakenly tried to rob an office building in Lake County, Florida. He thought it was a bank, and it wasn't. Didn't work out well for him. It was on Fox 35. Stick with us. We got third hour on the way.
And when you look at what Tucker Carlson and some of these other folks on Fox do, it is very, very clearly incitement of violence. Very clearly incitement of violence. And that is the line that I think we have to be willing to contend with.
That's AOC, who is arguing for the... She wants regulation of conservative media, which is asinine. And I guess she's never listened to the network that she's on. Welcome back to the program. Top of the show here. Top of this hour. Your lovable curmudgeon, Dana Lash, with you. You can listen, ladies and gentlemen, coast to coast. And always, you know, you can watch the simulcast of the radio program, Facebook, YouTube, where the discussion is ongoing, and DirecTV Channel 347. I mean, I really just don't, I mean, honestly, it doesn't seem like she ever listens to any of these other networks, if that's the kind of stuff that she's saying. But, I mean, this is just because you dislike someone's views doesn't mean it's a violence. You know, a different words aren't violence. A different opinion isn't violence. I can't stand that. That's such a lazy way to try to shut down an opinion that you are either too dumb or too lazy to engage and disprove. That's kind of how the left has been going on and on with us. I mean, they were the ones who said the whole hands up, don't shoot erroneously. That was a lie with the Michael Brown thing that three different forensic reports proved wrong. One of them was Eric Holder's own DOJ. The other was an independent one hired by the family. So all, I mean, they proved that was a lie. The mostly peaceful protests from the George Floyd summer. They weren't mostly peaceful. I mean, to say nothing of Russian collusion, right? That whole story, to say nothing of that. I mean, these were all lies. So that's this idea that, first off, that you need to I wouldn't want any, even people with whom I disagreed, regulated. But at the same time, I also don't feel like I have to go and appeal to government to help me win an argument. That's what I think that, you know, that's what I hear from her. That's what she sounds like. Mm-mm-mm. Now, everybody's been talking about Tucker Carlson and leaving Fox News today. Well, actually, they said Friday was his last show. And I kind of wonder, it seems like this all happened over the weekend. Because, I mean, he ended his show Friday with, you know, we'll be back Monday. And apparently, his executive producer, Justin Wells, is also leaving with him. Which makes me think that, you know, there's something else, you know, he's going to do something else different. I mean, this is a guy who started the Daily Caller. He could start his own network, really. So I don't know the whole, I don't know what it's due to. Some people are speculating. Maybe it's Dominion. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. I don't really think anybody knows. I don't think anybody knows because nobody knew he wasn't. I don't think even he did. Nobody knew that he wasn't going to be there today, but it was announced just right before we were going on air. And they said his last show was on Friday. So he, I guess, if I don't know if you could, it didn't seem like it was planned. So I don't think that it's because the left demanded that he leave either, but it does seem, I don't want to speculate, but you know, Tucker's a longtime friend of mine, but this is weird. It's odd. Brian Stelter was saying, I've tried calling and texting Tucker Carlson for comment. No response yet. Why would anybody care about talking to Brian Stelter about this? I love it that he thinks that Tucker Carlson would tell him, of all people. He didn't even, Dan Stelter, didn't he get fired from CNN too?
I think so.
Don Lemon's out also. Big, I know, all kinds of stuff. He's out. So Lemon's out. He was 17 years there. Tucker's out. I don't know. I think that there is an effort. There's been an effort by the left to target Carlson because he was, I watched the left do this to my dear friend, Andrew Breitbart, because Tucker and Andrew were they are similar. And in fact, Tucker used to be the more reserved version of Andrew. And then I think that changed after Andrew passed away. It's very interesting to watch that arc, but they've targeted him for a long time because he is good at engaging with people. He just has a no-nonsense type of style. He's a good broadcast, and he's sardonic. He's very funny, and that resonates with people. And he was a threat in that way because he was entertaining while also informative, and that's not something that you learn. You're either born with it or you're not. And there are too few people in commentary who can do it. But this targeting of him, I feel they haven't done it really yet, but I feel like they're going to try to take that as like a win for them. They're going to act like they did this. Don't you think so?
Oh, of
I haven't really seen it gear up yet, but just give it time.
It'll happen.
Yeah, just give it time. So I don't, I don't know. Like, they had one guy who worked for a couple of decades. He apparently launched a lawsuit against Fox, and he was saying the network was rife with sexist, misogynistic, and abusive behavior. This guy sounds like a lefty, I have to say. And they were saying that, you know, he was targeting them for, he was filing suit for these things. I don't know if that has anything to do with it either. I don't even know why that would be mentioned in context with Carlson. I don't know. But I don't know. Just all very interesting. It is very, very interesting. It is kind of weird because the people that watch very carefully, the people who come out and are very joyous, or the people who kind of push these sort of conspiracy theories about this. This is always, whenever things like this happen, particularly in commentary or in media, these are the good times where you get a rare opportunity, and it happens real quick. You got to watch, but you can see who's who. Very briefly, you get a little glimmer of who's who and who isn't. But I see a lot of people just crowing about it. We talked about The View a little bit earlier. And CNN did like this whole thing. Someone told me, a friend of mine messaged me and said, CNN's mentioning this whole thing about Carlson. Didn't say a damn thing about Lemon leaving.
You know what's funny?
Yeah.
Is I got messages from people saying they saw Fox News mention the Don Lemon firing, but not a thing about Tucker.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But you know what? You know how it broke open widely? Harris Faulkner announced it on Fox.
Really?
Yeah, she announced it on Fox. She covered it on her show. I watched it. And I love Harris Faulkner. I think Harris Faulkner is one of the best interviewers in the business. She really is. She is an underappreciated talent, I got to say. I don't think that she gets her due from commentary at large, from media at large. But she announced it on her show. So they didn't see that then, because she don't care. And she went right at it.
Apparently after her show, they have yet to mention it.
Interesting.
Again, I can't confirm that. I don't know, but that's what I'm hearing.
Well, you know, Greg Gutfeld will. I've known Greg for a long time, too. Just all weird. It's all weird. Just, you know, don't get distracted, though, about other stuff. Now, we got that out of the way. I want to refocus you. China and Singapore teaming up for green. Yes, it is. I know it's so much more fun to play in the tea. But, I mean, do you want to get your ass kicked by China? I mean, I feel like I got to just ask it like that. Let's refocus. Because if we lose 2024, guess what? That's probably going to happen. I hate saying it, but you have an administration and a governing party, mostly. They ran D.C. for the first part of Biden's term, and they still have, you know, a significant amount of influence. They still got the White House in that. Come on. But it's very important to note this, that, I mean, if you have Xi Jinping, who's making inroads with a lot of these other countries. Brazil, they're really trying to get a foothold in Latin America. And they're working with Singapore as well. They're also expanding their use case for Belt and Road. So this is another, you know, they have their central bank digital currency. It's the digital yuan. I don't know. Everybody always like argues like what's the best Chinese way to pronounce it. Yeah, because there's so many the dialects, etc. But they have been using this for their Belt and Road Initiative and cross-border trades, their digital currency. And that was one of the first CBDCs to be developed and, I guess, more widely tested. They haven't officially launched it, but they're setting up to expand testing. And they're including millions of people in multiple cities. And they've issued this currency for use in cross-border trade in a number of cities and for railroad services, goods on trains from China heading to Europe. So they have, and this was a couple of different, they have 18 cross-border rail connections. They've been, and their South China Morning Post, which is their CCP paper, they've been crowing about it. They've been running all, they have all these headlines celebrating it. So they're expanding this for use in Belt and Road. Now think about this. They're moving to digital, they're pushing this digital. while they're also trying to destroy the petrodollar. They're trying to get all these Belt and Road countries, which include a number of countries in Africa, a number of countries that they're getting inroads in the Caribbean, a number of countries in South and Central America, to say nothing of what what they've been doing with Emmanuel Macron and France. And now you can see what's coming. Remember, you know, we've talked about this before. You don't necessarily need to have a military offensive to take a nation. You can use loans and currency and everything else to do it. You can have financial warfare and without ever having to fire a shot. And I mean, that would be, they have the ability and the will to do it. They'll be reckless in pursuing it. Whereas the United States, what are we doing? What's going on over here? You got Biden, who's going to be taping. He has a pre-taped announcement to launch his re-election bid tomorrow. And you have Republicans fighting with themselves. I wish Donald Trump would spend as much time talking about the threat of green energy as he does railing against Ron DeSantis, because he's mad that Ron DeSantis hasn't even announced a run for presidency yet, but has been a successful governor, is considering it. The media has been baiting these two to fight, and Trump and some of his operatives are taking it. And Trump needs to not listen to these people. There's a reason why the people that he has advising him couldn't get jobs anywhere else before he decided to run. I say this because I feel like they're selling him short. I mean, how do you have the accomplishments that he has, and then this is how you like run your reelection bid? You can tell it's not the same team that's around him. And I know for a fact that it's not. Because I know them. I know all of them. And a lot of them I grew up in the conservative movement with. And it's so frustrating to see. Oh my gosh, it's so frustrating to see. I cannot stand when I see people take bad advice and then get themselves involved in controversies because of bad advice. We'll talk more about this. But this is a huge case. This is a huge situation here. What are we doing to offset this? What are we doing to stand? I mean, come on. Nothing. They talked about the only thing you've heard from this administration is green new everything. More reliance and dependency upon China. Now, how does that help us? It's rhetorical, because it doesn't.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I have to tell you guys, I took a drink of soda on break. Like 30 seconds, we're coming back in, right? And Kane finds the soundbite from Jake Sullivan, which we're going to play coming up. And he just lost his mind. And it was so funny that I actually snorted soda, and it really hurts. It's like my eyes are watering. My nose is burning. Sorry. Oh my gosh. He was so mad. He's like in a fit. He's out of juice. He's out of his juice. So, all right, here's the headline. Face masks may raise the risk of stillbirths, testicular dysfunction, cognitive decline due to buildup of carbon dioxide. So don't wear your face mask, because you're going to have stillbirth, small balls, and you're going to get dumb.
Science.
That's what that. Legit, they actually studied this. It was the CO2 mask review. And you trap the carbon and then you inhale it and you keep inhaling it. It was German researchers. And they studied a pretty large amount of people. So I'm gonna put that. You got to read this. I'm gonna put this in your prep link, because you're gonna want to have this. That's a very sick. It's very interesting. The U.S. Army. Here's the AP headline: unprepared for long war, U.S. Army is under the gun to make more ammo. Oh, but you know, they have all these restrictions and stuff that the administration's been wanting to pass. This comes out from the Associated Press. They said that they can't. U.S. can't produce enough ammo for Ukraine. The Scranton Army Ammunition Plant, which is part of this like multi-billion-dollar Pentagon plan to modernize and accelerate ammo production, because it's very dangerous actually to make it. They said that now you have to support Ukraine, but you have to have something in case there's any kind of, you know, frogginess with China. But that's just one of two sites that make the steel bodies for the howitzer rounds that's needed in Ukraine. So now everyone's like, we need more ammo. So they have to put out a lot more. There's a lot of concerns here with that. A massive fire broke out at a Disneyland park. A dragon prop caught fire. It looked actually amazing, but it wasn't supposed to happen. It was at the Tom Sawyer Island and the Fantasmic Nighttime Water Show. And it engulfed Maleficent's dragon prop. Which, I gotta be real, it looks really cool in the video, but that wasn't intended, so that was dangerous. They had to figure that all out. So that's, yeah, it's a very, you know, tough thing. Several men were arrested for selling laughing gas in downtown Austin. This is totally like what's the thing, Taylor Sheridan's thing with Stallone in and he's in Oklahoma, and they were selling laughing gas on the side. King of Tulsa. Yeah. That's great. Tulsa King's great, but this sounds totally like a plot from that show. But these men were arrested for illegally selling it in downtown Austin, nitrous oxide. Stay with us. Stephen Yates next.
Whether you just want to stay informed or just hear her vent about all the ridiculousness in the world, make sure to download the Dana Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
A decision to suspend operations at the embassy, remove our personnel from their assigned posts, is among the most difficult that any secretary has to make. But my first priority is the safety of our people, and I determined that the deteriorating security conditions in Khartoum posed an unacceptable risk to keeping our team there at this time.
Another embassy evacuation. Are they at least getting ahead of it well enough? I'm just wondering how that's kind of, isn't that Belt and Road territory too? Oh, I'm wondering. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. That's Antony Blinken discussing the evac of U.S. personnel from yet another embassy. It just seems like we're kind of behind the ball on a lot of things, really. Joining us right now, Stephen Yates, Senior Fellow at America First Policy Institute, Chair of the China Policy Initiative. I know China was still trying to figure out, Stephen, what they were. I don't think they've evacuated anyone yet. They were trying to figure out what they were going to do there. But, I mean, it does seem, there's been fighting, obviously, in that area for quite some time. But all of the, and correct me if I'm wrong, that's a Belt and Road nation, isn't it? Didn't China have projects going on in Sudan?
They do. They have a number of personnel. It's like a lot of parts of Africa where they promise to build projects and they bring in their own Chinese labor, and the locals don't like that so much. So it's another one of those areas of opportunism by the Chinese. But really, I mean, I basically see this as another retreat and defeat move by the Biden foreign policy team, yeah, too. I mean, the National Security Advisor Sullivan was trying to say, well, these things happen sometimes. I think this has happened three times on the Biden team's watch. I don't think that's happened to the United States in the history of the Republic on any president's watch. So these things don't actually happen from time to time. They happen a lot with you guys.
Yeah, exactly. To this point, I want to kind of switch, still discussing China. This was kind of shocking. So China's ambassador to France was on French TV and then began questioning the individual sovereignty of all of the former Soviet republics that are now their own nations, and basically intimated that, yeah, you know, go ahead and recreate the Soviet Republic, the USSR. That, and you can give insight into this. I don't think that this is, he didn't really speak off the cuff. I mean, I think that that's really, give us some insight on that, because I don't think that that was just a careless remark that he made.
Well, I would feel sorry for these guys, except they're evil communists. But one of the one of the problems with being an evil communist is that the truth is not a part of your job description. Mm. And so you run the risk on any given day, the memo switching out from under you. So at some point in time in the Communist Party Central Party School, it was A-OK to talk about sovereignty in the sense that, well, you know, sovereignty, schmoverenty, these Eastern European countries, they really belong to the Soviet Union. And so they're not real countries. Why would China want to say that? Because they want to have their revisionist view about Taiwan. And so because they don't care about the truth, because they're not really worried about the United Nations and its august rules, they just make stuff up. And this diplomat, as I say, I'd feel sorry for him if he weren't a bad guy. He was using the old memo. And he said what they actually think, and what they think is terrible and revisionist, and it's provoking the freer parts of Europe to rise up in protest against it. And so I say God bless him for telling the truth of what the communists really think. But my oh my, did he kick a bee's nest at that picnic?
Yes, he did. Are they going to disappear him, so to speak, after this? Because I know he kind of has a history of this.
I don't know, sometimes these people get promoted away, you know, they just sort of move back to the mothership and they'll find a new form of propaganda that suits them just fine.
Oh, apparently, yes, that it would seem so. With still respect to China. We had this headline a little earlier, how there's this. So they're China and Singapore are working on what they say is scale green and transition to scale up green and transition financing. They're collaborating on the statement, concrete initiatives to catalyze capital flows to support a credible and inclusive transition to low carbon, blah, 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 green tech, more reliance upon Beijing is how I'm reading it. But they set up this task force to establish this bilateral cooperation with transition finance. This on the heels of the CBDC, their digital currency that they've been testing and expanding the testing of. I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on this because I see the president eating ice cream and Kamala Harris going around saying the same thing over and over again in different speeches. And then I look and I see Xi Jinping, who is apparent, gathering allies and he's trying to boost up any kind of economic alliances to offset any kind of, you know, like embargoes or anything or trade, you know, wars or anything else. This is, the Singapore thing is troubling. The CBDC thing is troubling, especially now that other countries are being encouraged to adopt it.
Yeah, well, there's no question that there's a lot of momentum out there in the world, and it's being driven by people other than Uncle Sam. And so when you have weakness in the leadership in the United States, you don't really have any initiative. They're playing catch up almost like on a comms strategy B-roll every day, trying to excuse what's happening, not really shaping events. Deterrence has failed in Europe. We don't really have a lot of confidence of deterrence holding in Asia. All this currency thing, there's a lot of momentum why the U.S. dollar is going to remain very, very important for a long time. But this feeling of erosion and sort of people like Singapore as a country, that's kind of like the size of a postage stamp in a certain sense, but it's been really important at a key location and has really straddled East versus West in a very significant strategic way for a long time. This is tilting much more towards playing with Beijing in a way that I think most American leaders would have thought possible in the not too distant past. So I think there's a lot of reason to be concerned by these games. And I think they're games. I don't expect anything to come of this in a big way economically right away. But the more we let these games unfold, the more it kind of becomes real. Mm-hmm. And that's I think, what we really have to get our hands on. We don't get our own house in order, get some real leadership, then these kinds of games start to bite really hard.
Yeah, and speaking of getting our own house in order, we're talking to Stephen Yates. There were protests over the weekend. A lot of Republicans were out in Michigan protesting against this Chinese-owned EV battery company. And it's very, very close to Camp Grayling, where the Taiwanese military is being trained by Michigan National Guard. Very interesting. China's like, this is a great spot for an EV battery company. We're just making some batteries right by the camp where the Taiwanese military is being trained. Just a big coincidence, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know if that super fantastic state government also helped them out on that site survey on what might be available and good. But... you know, I see some momentum out in the states, and I know that there's some private sector initiative, since the government is not so fabulous there, to really have some screening of where money is coming from into our states. And so people that are average citizens, farmers engaged in manufacturing, they want to know who they're doing business with. They want to know where this money's coming from and where it's going. We had some dealings with Kristi Noem in South Dakota about what that might look like on ag land and some other areas. And like, there's a private sector initiative in Michigan that wants to question, hey, who are these companies? What is this kind of money? What are they really up to? Because, yeah, this building batteries is one thing, but right there near sensitive locations, a little bit too much of a coinky thing. Yeah. And so we need to have some real processing. We can't count on the federal government to do it. So the part of me that is troubled, it has at least part of me that says, hey, you know what? I believe more in this grassroots up stuff. So more power to the citizens and the people in the states that want to have some scrutiny and transparency on this.
Yeah, good for them. Good for them on that. I know you're traveling this week. You've been very busy, man. We appreciate your time with us as always. At YatesComms on Twitter, folks, go find him. His timeline's always a good resource. Stephen Yates, thank you, my friend. Good to see you.
Thank you, Dana. Take care.
Of course. You too. And that we'll make sure we also have all of our discussions, folks, that we put up on YouTube and Facebook as well. Yeah, it's not a coincidence at all that it's literally right there where they're training the Taiwanese military. Not at all in any way a coincidence. I don't believe in coincidences. Not with this government anymore. Not at all. Some of the other stuff that we've been following as well for the program, throughout the program, we've been looking at I have some wokery for you as well. But you have, as I said, the president's going to be announcing he's running for re-election in a pre-taped thing. There's a new poll out saying that 70% of Democrats don't want him to run. That does change if it's against Trump, though, because then it turns into people who would not vote for Biden, but they'll vote against Trump. That's how Hillary Clinton ended up losing, by the way, in 2016. But there's it's a very interesting that 70% don't want him to run. And it's a new poll from NBC. 70% of Americans do not want Biden to run for a second term. Who are the 26 people? But 69% say it's his age. 48% say it's a major reason. And the poll said that 47% of Americans right now plan to vote for Biden in 2024. So, but those change if it's a Trump rematch. Then his numbers improve. This is the Republican Party better get a grip on this stuff. They better get a grip on all of this. So the other headline that we've been seeing as well, too, is this Tucker Carlson's out at Fox. They announced that just right before we were getting ready to go on air. And it seemed to be I don't think it was expected, because he had said Friday in his broadcast that, you know, we'll be back Monday. And then he wasn't. Monday. They said his last show was Friday. They said he ended on the 21st. And the first mention of it was Harris Faulkner. And that was 11:45 Eastern. So it was 15 minutes before we were on air that they made the announcement on the network. And they were saying that it's news from within our Fox family is what they said. So I don't know if this was there's a lot of speculation. There were some that, you know, were saying that he was becoming too powerful a host, maybe for management, or that they needed to represent the balance, or that, you know, a lot of, you know, that some of the people that they had previously at executive levels that were kind of a check to the balance of power with the host are no longer there. And that maybe that's what this was. A lot of people are saying, well, Paul Ryan is on the board at Fox, so that maybe, you know, maybe that has something to do with it as well. We also have this. This is audio soundbite. I wanted to play this. Audio soundbite 11. Listen to this, because this is wild. This is Ray Epps, who blames Tucker Carlson for being in the news.
He's obsessed with me. He's going to any means possible to destroy my life and our lives.
Why?
To shift blame on somebody else. If you look at it, Fox News, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Ted Cruz, Gates, they're all telling us before this thing that it was stolen. So you tell me, who has more impact on people, them or me?
I don't. Exactly. The thing is I don't. When he's talking about, well, who lied about the election? Are you talking about 2016 or now? I'm curious. I mean, I think we need a timestamp on that. Like in 2016, I'm curious about that. There were a lot of the whole Ray Epps thing. There were a lot of questions about this. The New York Times was saying, oh, he became the victim of a conspiracy theory and all of this other stuff. And then this was the 60 Minutes thing where they profiled him. And they made it out like, oh, he's in hiding, he's facing death threats, you know, et cetera. Which, you know, I don't know. The way that they went about that, he was the guy, wasn't he the guy that was on camera, though, who was telling everyone to, like, go run for it
he's on tape.
Enter the Capitol. I mean, he's like on tape telling people to push through and go into the Capitol.
And not just once or twice or three times.
No, repeatedly. There's like tons of footage of him doing this. You have people who are literally in jail because they were like chanting USA, USA, you know, outside the doors of the Capitol. They're in jail. And then you have people like, you know, this Ray Epps who are on camera inciting a riot. I don't know how you can say that he wasn't. I mean, when you're telling people, knowing that they're not supposed to go somewhere, and you're telling people go, 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 and you're trying to get them all riled up. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. I'm probably being very, I'm probably generously underplaying it. And then he's not in jail. That's just weird to me. And these are all questions that everybody, not just Tucker Carlson, have asked, but he's targeting Tucker Carlson because it's he's getting, the left is using him as this arrow to go after someone who's been very, very effective at blowing up their narratives. So I question his sincerity, and then I question his overall role. It makes me even more suspicious of him. That whole 60 Minutes thing made me more suspicious of that guy than I'd ever been before. I mean, not to say that I wasn't before, but it made me more so. I got to be real.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
Rebecca put a teacher's creed into words when she said, there's no such thing as someone else's child. What? No such thing as someone else's child. What? Our nation's children are all our children.
No, they're not. You're not my mom. Stranger danger. That's my purse.
After seeing the Biden kids, I don't want any of my kids near the Bidens.
Dude, right? Like, if we were all Biden's kids, like, we'd all have coke habits. Right? It seems like that way. Good grief. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lyons Show. That was just a little bit ago. What is he at? Biden's at National Teacher something, Celebration, Appreciation, dibbity-doo-da, whatever that.
He's Jill's husband.
I'm burdened by what has been and what has... Oh, wait, that's Kamala's line. Can you imagine if he said that? If he said that line in a speech, I think we'd all have a meltdown.
Right.
Because that means that it's her in a costume. I don't know. No. Just
it would all just right. mean he plagiarizes
yeah,
again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Today's stupidity came.
All right, it's Jake Sullivan. Boy, when I heard this, I think I may have cussed. Did I cuss? Do you remember if
yeah,
I cussed?
Yeah, you did. Okay. You totally did.
Well, here's what Jake Sullivan just said minutes ago.
Americans are free people.
Are we
cannot dictate
what?
Where they travel.
What?
Tell them they must go or not go to a particular place.
All right. Tell us the story of COVID then, Mr. Jake Sullivan.
That's not what
Please.
You said,
that
though,
is
on
not
break.
What I said.
That I snorted soda up into my nose 30 seconds before
cleaning
we went
it up
live.
For FCC rules.
Yeah.
So Jake Sullivan, screw you.
Yeah, that's that is polite compared to what
you
said. There you go. Yeah. Today in stupidity. Folks, I'll be on Jesse Waters' program in the 6 p.m. Central hour. Sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Have a good night. I'll be back with you tomorrow. We really will be. We'll be back tomorrow.